Coming to you from the Morningstar Mission sponsored studio, this is Carl and Crew Mornings.
Boom Crew, you know what our greatest joy is around here? One of our greatest joys.
What's that?
Helping you take a step with Jesus. There's this big fancy word called sanctification. It just means growing up in your relationship with Christ. And our goal here is to give you content that helps you step out and experience His promises and His power in practical ways.
So if you feel stuck today, like you haven't had any forward spiritual movement in a long time, today's your day to take a step forward. Keep listening.
Going from believers of Jesus to followers of Jesus. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Boom Crew, let me cut to the chase here. There's a lot of us that come to a point in time in life. I'm not saying all of us do, but some of us do, where we start wondering, when am I going to die? You might say, well, that's a morbid thought. Yeah, it's a real thought. I live in a world with a lot of...
It's a common thought.
Like, is it?
Yeah, I think so. I'm 28, so I'm not at the point where old age is going to be the thing that takes me right now. But yes, I have thought. Not crazy often,
but you think
enough.
When am I going to die?
How is that going to happen? You know, what am I leaving behind? Those types of questions come to me.
How important is it, Super Die, to consider death?
Absolute importance.
I think so.
It's top up there because that is your faith. That is your hope. That is your reason. That is your purpose.
Yeah. Or not.
Or not.
I mean, and the reality is this is. You know, look around, and I just want you to come on, hang with me here a second. I want you to think for a moment, where am I going if I die? Where am I going if I die? And I'm just going to take a moment here to finish a little bit of thoughts that are on my heart. I want to tell you today that you never have to die. Nope. You never have to die. You might say, Carl, come on, man. You can't keep that promise. Yeah, I can. Jesus was late for Lazarus. He was dead. Mary was at home doing what Mary does. Martha was doing what I would do. I'll be honest with you. She ran down the road, heard Jesus was coming into town, sprinted. I can see her sprinting right now. She was a spirited woman. She ran out to see Jesus and she said, if you would have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. Well, some of you know the story. Some of you don't. That's fine. He raised Lazarus from the dead. But what was the purpose of doing that? One reason. He was trying to show one powerful truth. And he says it right here. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Oh, wow. What a promise. Now, you might be saying, well, what do you mean? Yes, in our earthly bodies, we will die. But we move from this life through a portal of physical death into a life we've never imagined. That's what I'm talking about. And then he asked Martha one question. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. I'll tell you a quick story about Jude. There's about 9 Judes in the New Testament. Jude is a derivative of Judas. Probably understandable that people wouldn't go by Judas after Judas betrayed Jesus. It became more popular to take that root word Jude, and that's what they did. Jude is, along with James, one of the half-brothers of Jesus. 4 younger brothers of Jesus, all half-brothers. James and Jude had the same mom and dad, Mary and Joseph. Jude, for a lot of years, this might encourage you, didn't believe in Jesus. Jude wasn't an early disciple of Christ. Not at all. Matter of fact, you know what we find in Scripture? Jude was one of the brothers that wanted to get Jesus out of the temple and get him back home because they said, these brothers, he's lost his mind. That's what they thought about Jesus.
Yeah, his own, their brother.
Yep. Jude said, he's lost his mind. Fast forward, post-resurrection, we don't know exactly when it happened, but we know that in Jewish tradition, the Messiah was going to be resurrected. Somewhere post-resurrection, Jude believed that his brother Jesus was the Son of God. It's an amazing story, and Jude is an amazing letter. One chapter, powerful teaching. Jude was a little bit like his brother Jesus. He could toss velvet-covered bricks with the best of them. He was amazing that way. He's got some things to say about the world in disarray. But he believed. He believed so much he called James his brother, but he didn't even refer to Jesus as his brother. He called him Christ the Lord. What an amazing thing.
It's a gigantic attitude shift.
Boom Crew, I need you to hear my heart right now. You can move today from spiritual ambivalence, and I know that you might even go to church, but I'm asking you right now, do you know for certain you will not die? Martha was asked that question, and the answer was a simple one. Do you believe? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that you are Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. I want you to set aside your religious systems. I want you to set aside all the spiritual activity that you've had, because Scripture is clear. You can be very spiritually active and totally lost. And when you die, you will not live. But today you can live. You can have assurance that when I leave this earth, I will enter into a new heavenly realm in the presence of God, where there's no more weeping, there's no more grieving. The pain of this world is behind us, and an eternity in the presence of God and entrepreneurism and development and fellowship and worship and laughter and praise and joy are before us. Revelation 21. Incredible. And I'm just going to pitch it to you straight here this morning. It is not good enough to believe that Jesus existed, that he taught, and that he was a good man. You have to have a Jude shift. You got to have a James shift, where you go from, he's a man who lived, who was a good man, and yes, I believe in Jesus, to believing you are Lord, you are Christ, you are the Savior of the world, and only by total surrender and trust in Jesus Christ will I never die. I'd say, Carl, do you ever worry about how you're going to die? Or no, I actually am growing so confident in my Savior that I don't worry about how or when. I am in his arms, and you can be too. You say, how? Believe. But it's a belief with mind and soul and heart, and it's a surrender of your will to the will of God. It's seeing Jesus as the Messiah. You become a Jude. You move from affection for someone and cursory belief in someone to total surrender and yielding of your life to the Savior of the world. And I want you to do it today. I want you to go with me to an eternal home with our God and millions and millions and millions of others around the globe who have done that today. You don't have to die. When you die, you can live. And there's some of you that right now, the blinders are being pulled down. All of a sudden, you see your need for Jesus like you never have before. And it's just as real can be. And I want you to pray with me right now. Today, you are going to be brand new. And although you will die, you will never die. You will live. Pray with me. Jesus, I believe that you came to this earth. And I believe that you are resurrected. And to this point, I've not fully surrendered to you, but today's a new day. I give my life to you completely. Not holding anything back. Tell him this. I give my life to you completely, holding nothing back. I admit I need a savior because I got sin in my life. And today I turn, I repent. I turn away from all of the life I've made for myself and all my foolish mistakes and all the pain in my life that I have and the pain that I've caused others. And today I say, Jesus, I believe. I want you to think about this right now. Listen to me. I'm talking to you. Is today the day that you're making a break from a broad path that leads to destruction and a certain death? And are turning toward Jesus who can give you life eternal. Is that you? Yes or no? Yes. Awesome. So Father, for this one right now, who is saying yes to you, yes to eternal life. Although they die, they will live. And no one truly dies who is in Christ Jesus. God, show them your love. Flood them right now. Irrigate their soul with your presence and power. Thank you, God, that you are flooding in right now. Throw off that weight and that burden that they've been carrying. And Lord, we rejoice with them because today is a brand new day. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If that's you, we want to get a resource into your hand that is going to help you. Really practically, four practical things to do that will help you take your first steps in your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a new day. Old is gone. New things have come. And we want to help you discover those new things in this new life that God's given you. Just text the word new to our number here, 312-274-9624. If never before have you surrendered your life to Jesus, but today is a new day. Just text the word new right now. Right now, get your phone out. Text the word new to 312-274-9624. Text new to 312-274-9624. And I'll shout out the last four numbers of your telephone number just to let you know, man, we see you. We're just happy for what God's doing in your life. 6168. Welcome to the family. 6109, brand new in Jesus Christ. Awesome. Just text the word new to 312-274-9624. The promise of Jesus Christ is for you. You will never die because you'll move from this life right on into life eternal and in the presence of God. 0885, welcome, man. So good to see you. Brand new. You're brand new today, and we're going to help you take your first steps with Jesus. Just text the word new to 312-274-9624.
Going on the road? Tune in wherever you drive. Just text APP to 312-274-9624.
Somebody texted me and said, you know, I think a lot of Christians think about death, but I don't think a lot of people that don't know Christ think about death. I couldn't disagree more. People are thinking about death all the time. This is why you have cryotherapy, for crying out loud. There's bodies on ice right now, hoping that science will one day be able to resurrect them. You've got scientific therapies and even some of the longevity science that's going on right now, they're aiming at immortality. Now, we know that the jig will be up before that can happen. It's kind of like Tower of Babel.
Yeah, Jesus isn't going to let let it us go that achieve far. That.
Right.
AI and all this stuff is making great gains. And by the way, there's a lot of great things in longevity science. But the motivation behind it is who wants to face death in the face if you can somehow avoid the question of what happens on the other side?
Yeah. Well, and you think about, you know, the people out there that genuinely believe that when I die, nothing happens. I go to the ground. And they truly believe that. Maybe they don't have
some do.
But in all honesty, think about it. Wouldn't that be more terrifying then? Wouldn't death come up in your mind more often?
Because if you just go into oblivion?
If you just go into oblivion and there's nothing. Like, if all you've ever known is your consciousness and then there's some reality in which that's no longer a thing, how could you not think about it if you really thought that was the case?
For God so loved this world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will live forever. Let me ask you a question. Do you know that you're going to live when you die? John 3:16 is powerful. John 3:17 might even be better because Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. Have you let Jesus save you yet? God sent his Son to come into this world to die for you. Today's the day to give your life to him. Today is the day.
Discipleship to start your day. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
I've always been amazed at people that have overcome adversity. Always. I've always thought, oh Lord, how would I handle that?
Sure.
And especially people that have adversity that comes on even a little bit later in life. My bride's grandpa is quite a dude. I never seen a guy who had such, and I mean this, this is going to be a big statement, but I need you to know I've thought about it. I've never seen a guy that's had such an immediate response to anything difficult to immediately go to the Lord in prayer. I've never seen a guy like this. This is a guy that overcame adversity like crazy. My bride was reminding me that at a ripe young age of 85, he was jogging down trails while he was tethered to someone. You might say, why tethered? Because at the age of 18, he started losing his sight. And by the time he was 20, he was totally blind. And I always wondered, what would that be like? And but for God, how do you handle that kind of stuff?
Right.
We got a guy with us right now, Michael Panther. Michael, what was it like for you to be a little boy in South Sudan, running around with the kids, and begin to lose feeling in your legs? What was that like?
My life was very different. As you just mentioned, from South Sudan, that country was embroiled in a very intense civil war. And so many of us were running around every single day for our life.
Oh.
And then as a 10 years old, I suddenly got sick and didn't know what was wrong with me. And I thought this is going to be the end of my life because I couldn't run for my life, you know. As people are running around, I kind of knew that I would be left behind. Mm. And so that was a real struggle for me. But then my mom had so much love for me. He wanted me to get some help. And so he directed my dad to take me to the neighboring country of Kenya to get treatment. But I didn't want my dad to leave my mom and my younger siblings because if they're left behind, I don't know whether they will survive. But because of the love of my mom, he really, and her faith too, because he said that, don't worry, Michael, God will take care of us.
Yeah.
So let you and your dad go and get help so that you could be alive.
Michael Panther, our guest this morning, he's a businessman, the founder of an incredible ministry called Living with Hope. It's dedicated to providing resources and training to people with disabilities in Africa. Now, Michael, your earliest memories growing up in a war-torn country, civil war, your village under attack, those early traumatic experiences, and then at the age of 10, beginning to lose movement in your legs, how do you even begin to process that much trauma and pain and loss at such an early age? What did that do to any sense of faith you had?
Yeah, it really choked me a lot. But just before I got sick, I was able to give my life to Christ before that.
How old were you when you gave your life to Christ?
Just was probably like 6 months before I got sick. And for us, we didn't have a church. We were running around every single day and every week. So we didn't have a church home. But every Sunday, we will gather under the tree and worship God. We would cry out to God for his mercy and for the peace of our country. And it was during that time that I began to pay attention to the word of God. And as one Sunday, when we gathered under a tree, one of the elders took his torn, worn-out Bible. I remember, I think it was missing a lot of pages. But he pointed us to John 3:16. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And I was deeply moved by the idea of God's love. In my village, parents were very reluctant to send their kid to go to war, young boys to go to war, because they didn't want them to die. But here is God, who is sending his only son to come and die for us. That love really touched my heart, and I gave my life to Christ at that moment.
Michael Panther is our guest right now. I mean, Michael, can you imagine going through the loss of movement in your limbs without Jesus? I've often wondered, how do people make it without God? You must have been overwhelmed with the grace of God to have called you out of darkness and into the light just before this was going to happen.
Yes. It was, you know, that faith, you know, it planted in my heart at that time. You know, even with that faith, that suffering, sometimes you wonder, where is God, you know?
Yeah.
And I had a lot of point in my life where I felt really depressed and frustrated, and I just didn't know if God was even around.
Yeah.
I became hopeless, and I was like, where is God? You know, I was crying out, where are you, God? You know, do you even love me? Why are you letting me go through this unbearable pain and suffering? What have I done to deserve this, you know? So I was wrestling with those questions.
Honest questions.
We took, you know, my dad and I went on that journey to come to Kenya, and that took a lot of months, and then finally made it to a mission hospital in Kenya that has already taken 2 years, and the pain was becoming unbearable at that time, and so I just wanted to die.
Michael Panther, our guest this morning, he's told his story in a book called Living with Hope, A Truth Story of Faith, Purpose, and Mobility. Coming up, we're going to ask you, how did God use that pain, that difficulty, that wrestling to birth something that's so special, that has reached and ministered to so many people? This ministry, Living with Hope, we're going to give you more coming up with our special guest.
Your shot of hope to make it through the day. It's Carl and Crew Mornings.
Well, his name is Michael Panther. He has an incredible book out, Living with Hope, A True Story of Faith, Purpose, and Mobility. Michael, growing up in war-torn Sudan, experiencing the ravages of war constantly, and then beginning to lose mobility in your legs at a young age. That's a lot to take on as a young man. As you look back now, you can see that God was preparing you for something very, very special. Tell us, when did you first get a sense that God's going to use all of this?
I think how I get a sense was through God's word. In Romans 8:28, it says that, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. So, you know, the Bible say that, you know, everything, whatever we go through, our pain, our struggle, all those things, God could use them for his definition of what is good. And so when I was in that hospital, God touched the heart of the missionary doctor that took care of me and his wife to let me go to school. So they took me to school in Kenya, and eventually I came to the U.S., went to school, went to college. And it was during that time that God started to put in my heart to start something. And, you know, it is true that your deepest passion comes from your deepest pain.
Amen.
You know, my deepest pain and struggle that I've gone through gave me the passion to start the ministry, Living with Hope, with a mission of sharing God's hope and love, restoring dignity through the gift of mobility. And so we've been taking wheelchairs and other mobility devices to give them to those who are in need in Africa. Because I've lived it, I know the struggle and the pain that I've gone through. Most of these people that are considered people with no value in the society, that seem as a curse to the society because of their disability. And so we come alongside them, sharing the gospel and give them a mobility.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that, Michael, because you see the incredible value of giving mobility to those that don't have it. But you also see the greater value of giving them spiritual mobility that is found in Jesus Christ, don't you, Michael?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, during my 2 years stay at the hospital, you know, I was wrestling with my struggle, my pain that I went through. But during that time, too, you know, when I finally hit the rock bottom, that's when I began to embrace my true identity in him and learn the true definition of Christian hope. And you know, that hope I wanted to share with those because it changed my life completely. The way I view myself, a person with disability, you know, before that was completely different from how I view myself now. Before that, I thought I was hopeless. I was a person with no value in the society. But now I feel that you know, I'm in the image of God. God created me with a special plan and purpose of my life. And I wanted to share that with those who feel like they don't belong to this world. They are not people. They consider people with no values.
So out of that was born this ministry, Living with Hope. It's an organization dedicated to sharing hope, mobility devices, and training to those living with disabilities in Africa. This is about so much more than just these devices, right, Michael? I mean, yes, there's the practical needs of the wheelchairs and the other assisted devices that's going to help make someone's life easier. But let's talk about the hope part, the Christian hope part that is different than anything else we can ever offer someone.
Yes. You know, back in Africa, people, you know, they're considered a curse. That's what they see as, you know, like when you see a person with disability, they think already you're a curse to the society. But that is not the same, you know. And if you look in the Bible to even the days of Jesus in John 9, verse 1-3, when the story of the blind man, you know, the disciples saw the blind man, and they say, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? But Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God may be displayed in him.
That's you.
And so we wanted to share that thing that these people, they're not a curse, and they need to know themselves, people with disability, that they are not a curse, that God created you in his image, and he has a purpose and a plan, and you need to give your life to him. And he will take care of you, and he will use you for the glory of his kingdom.
Michael Panther, you are something else, man. Boom Crew, I want you to hear me right now. This is in a book form. I'm going to give you two things here. One is you're going to have to go find it on your own. He's written a book called Living with Hope, and it's on Amazon, and the reviews are amazing. Some have said best book you will ever read. So Living with Hope on Amazon, but I'm going to give you a direct link here because some of you are saying, and I hadn't even planned on this, but we're going to do it. Some of you are saying, boy, what if I could partner up with a humble guy like this? You can. We got a way for you to do it. I want you to text the word hope to 312-274-9624. Text the word hope to 312-274-9624. It's going to be a direct link for you to be able to partner up with a great man of a brother in Christ and a great man of God. Partner with your brother, Michael. And some of you are like, phew, what a story. And I want to tell you, Michael, here's what I got from you. And you didn't even know you were given it. Probably your story is anchored in the Word of God. I mean, I see like a hydrogen balloon with ropes coming off it to these anchors. And he is anchored in Jesus Christ.
Just text the word HOPE to 312-274-9624. That's going to take you to the website. You can learn a little bit more about the ministry. The book is linked there for sale as well. And then if you want to partner with the ministry, all of that, just text the word HOPE to 312-274-9624.
Need a wake-up call? We can help with that. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Well, boom, crew, we've been tackling the reality that there's evidence of the Holy Spirit, but the fact is there's only evidence of the Holy Spirit because we are sealed in the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul told the Ephesian church.
We find that in Ephesians 1:13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. We're going to break this down today with a special guest, Dr. Greg Allison. Start with just some context around this passage. What do we need to know to even begin to unpack it?
This passage is perhaps the richest passage on all of the blessings that we have in Christ, everything from redemption to forgiveness of sins to God's choice of us, his adoption of us as his children. And at the end of the whole discussion, the key focus here is on the sealing of the Holy Spirit, the sealing by the Holy Spirit.
Is this, there's a lot of discussion around this. It's got a lot of implications, but at its most basic tenet, isn't this one of the hallmark passages for the assurance of salvation?
It absolutely is. Both the perseverance of genuine Christians, the mark of the Holy Spirit, he seals us so that we will persevere. That's God's work in our life. And as a result of that, subjectively, we enjoy the privilege of the assurance of salvation. We know that nothing can break this seal. We know that we are guaranteed our salvation. And so humbly, not arrogantly, but we embrace the fact that we will never depart from Jesus Christ. We will always remain believers throughout this life and into the life to come because of the work of the Spirit.
There's a lot of discussion around what it is to be filled with the Spirit. And I think a lot of people wonder, how can I have an assurance that the Spirit of God is in me? Are there tangible evidences that you would point to, Greg, that lend to the reality that, man, I've been transformed by God. I'm sealed in the Holy Spirit.
When we see the fruit of the Holy Spirit produced in our life, so love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, et cetera, right? We can have that assurance that the Spirit is not only indwelling us, but he's actively present and empowering us. And then in the church, according to Ephesians 5:18 to 21, we also see these marks of the church filled with the Holy Spirit. There is a genuine communion between believers. There's authentic worship that is going on as we gather together. The church is characterized by gratitude. We're people of thanksgiving, and we submit to one another for the sake of Christ. That is, we prefer one another. We don't regard ourselves more highly than we ought. We try to outdo one another in showing honor to others.
Love it.
So these would be marks of the Spirit.
Dr. Greg Allison, our guest right now, he's a renowned professor of Christian theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He's spent his life devoted to studying and teaching theology. Coming up, you've got a book that I find fascinating, talking about living as whole people in a fractured world. Let's get into that coming up with our special guest, Dr. Greg Allison.
Find us on social media. Just search Carl and Crew Mornings on Facebook and Instagram.
Dr. Greg Allison with us right now. So there is the temptation to live fractured in a fractured world, but there is a call on the believer to live whole. You wrote a book about it. Give us a little bit of an overview of why you tackled this one.
I tackled this book, which is called Embodied, Living as Whole People in a Fractured World, because I'm fearful that we have, as believers, pretty much a complete disregard for our embodiment. But God has designed us and created us as his image bearers to be embodied, to be male embodied image bearers and female embodied image bearers. This is by God's design, and this is necessary for us to love one another, to serve Christ, to experience the joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, and so forth, to be servants in Jesus Christ Church. So this is my focus on embodiment, helping us to understand we're not fractured, but we're whole people.
Yeah, and that is what we want. It seems that I've been reading C.S. Lewis again, and it's an amazing reality, but there is eternity etched in the hearts of man. We're image bearers. There's a sense in which this is why we have addictions. Everybody's trying to get something, some juice in their life that we know only the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit can provide. And with that as a backdrop, I got to give you a challenge that we have here, Dr. Greg Allison. And this is a real one, and I think you see it. The illusion of salvation in the church today, according to Jesus in Matthew 7, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. There's a lot of people that listen to us here, don't they, Allie, that they wonder, how can I know that I know?
Absolutely.
One of the hallmarks, and we're talking about this today, is being sealed in the Holy Spirit. That begins to take this fractured life and make it whole. To the person who wonders, am I truly born again? How can this sealing in the Holy Spirit either confirm or deny whether or not they are really in Christ?
So first of all, we have the promise of the Word of God that if we have the Son of God, we have the life. And so we believe the promise of God that as we have embraced the good news of Jesus Christ through repentance and faith, that we then have the Son and therefore have eternal life. And then in Romans 8:16, we read that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit, our core, assuring us that we are children of God. So that's the privilege of all genuine believers to have this sense, this conviction, this confidence that we belong to Christ and we belong to Him forever, this inner witness of the Spirit. And then we, again, reading Scripture, we understand that we've been marked out with the seal of the Holy Spirit, and we believe that promise, even if we don't feel like this morning that we're sealed. We maybe have committed some sin and we're guilty, we're ashamed, but we can have that assurance because God has begun His good work in our life and He will continue it until Christ returns. And part of that is the sealing and the filling and the assurance of the Holy Spirit.
What does someone do who feels like I'm there? I've got a recurrent shame, repent cycle going on in my life, and it's starting to cause me to question whether I'm born again. What do they do?
As long as there is an attitude, a posture, a desire to repent of sin and turn from it, confess that sin and get help, that's a very healthy sign.
Yeah.
We would be in danger if we don't have that sense, I'm messing up, I continue to mess up, and all like that. That would be a very dangerous sign. But as long as we have this sense, things are not as they should be, but I want them to be the way that God has designed me and saved me to be, that's a good sign.
I love that. And it confirms it. I love this, Allie, because John 16, what do we find? Jesus says the Holy Spirit's going to convict. Conviction is a evidence of sealing with the Spirit, dynamite.
You've spent so much of your life devoted to studying and teaching theology. What would you say to the believer listening right now? How practically can we live with more of an awareness of the power of the Holy Spirit moment by moment, day by day?
My best day begins when tumbling out of bed. I'm not a morning person. When tumbling out of bed, I cry out in desperation, Spirit, fill me.
Boom.
Three words. I posture myself, according to Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Spirit, fill me. That says nothing about the day that is about to unfold, circumstances, relationships, ministry, teaching, whatever it might be, but it says everything about me and the proper posture of yielding, submitting my life from the first moment all throughout the day to the presence and power of the Holy Spirit.
Powerful stuff. Boom Crew, have we got a resource for you?
I want to point you to Dr. Greg Allison's latest book. It's called God, Gift, and Guide, Knowing the Holy Spirit. You can get a keyword right now. Just text the word SPIRIT to get the direct link. Text SPIRIT to 312-274-9624. Just text the word SPIRIT, 312-274-9624.
What a title. God, Gift, and Guide. Knowing the Holy Spirit.
He's fully God.
Yeah.
So he's fully God along with the Father and the Son. He is the greatest gift that God the Father gives to those who follow his Son. And he is our guide throughout our entire life.
Again, text the word SPIRIT right now to 312-274-9624. You're going to love it, guys. 312-274-9624. Dr. Greg Allison, you hit it out of the park, my man. You're welcome back here anytime. You know, we're talking about this great discussion with Dr. Greg Allison. By the way, if you want a link there, text SPIRIT to 312-274-9624. And we want you to check out this one. We're gonna give more and more resources on what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Any studies on being filled with the Holy Spirit? Why? Because we've got to get some solid theology that helps us capture the third person of the Godhead. Because we've got multiple books on experiencing God as in the Father and so much teaching on Jesus. And as Sam Storm said 2 days ago, there's a lot of, he doesn't hold back. He says there's a lot of twisted, my language, garbage teaching out there about the Holy Spirit, where we try to use them almost like a genie in a bottle of sorts. But that can't dissuade us from leaning into the real power of the Holy Spirit, as we see outlined all the way through Scripture, especially in the book of Acts. So we're going to keep promoting that here. Ah, man, I feel prompted with something here right now. Somebody, is this you? You are not sure you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. In fact, you've got the Holy Spirit convicting you of the fact that you've never repented and followed Jesus yet in your life. Today's your day, my friend. And you might be gulping right now because you're like, man, is Carl talking to me? If my words are speaking into your heart, it's because the Holy Spirit's talking to you. So here's what I want to tell you right now. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son into the world. He died for you. And if you will believe in him, you will not perish when you die in this world. You will have eternal life. But that life begins today. We are new creations when we're in Christ Jesus. The old is gone, the new has come. And I don't think I need to say too many more words. Maybe you've heard that you must repent and turn away from the life in the natural man that you've been building for yourself. And I'm asking you to turn and follow Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will fill you up and you will be sealed in Christ by the power of the Spirit for eternity. You can't be snatched from the hand of God, and your life today will change. The quality of your life will change. Why? Because you've done something? No, because he's done something. He's deposited the life of Jesus into you. And so here's what I want to ask you. Are you ready today to count the cost and turn away from the life that you've made for yourself on this broad path that leads to destruction? Are you willing to say, I've had my ladder leaning against the wrong wall. I've climbed. I've looked over the top. There ain't nothing there. Praise God. When you get there, that's so good, my friend. But now I want to ask you, are you ready? Count the cost here. Are you ready to turn around and let Jesus Christ do a building project in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of the Father? Count the cost, but if that's you, it's a powerful thing, isn't it, my friend? And it's all right if you got to wipe away tears. That was my story. And by the way, we're talking to you, and maybe you're driving down a road, or you're at home, or you're at work. I don't know where you're at, but I was driving down a road when God called me out of darkness into light. Never forget that stretch of road. I could take you to it today. But boy, when he calls you, you know it, don't you, friend? I want you to turn around and I want you to say to Jesus right now, aloud, I believe you died for me and I needed it. I was desperate for it. And I know you're alive. Because I feel your work in my life today. You're giving your life to him, repenting, just say yes. You believe Jesus died for you, just say it out loud. Yes, Carl, I do. I want to welcome you to this new journey. If you get that quivering chin or those tears wiped away or that overwhelming emotion right now, I just want to say it is good to have you here. It is really good to have you here. We want to help you. Very simple. We've got a revamped link for all brand new followers of Jesus Christ to get. You've never followed Jesus before, but today's your day. I want you to text the word new to our number here. In just a second, I'll give you the number, but we're going to have four distinct steps to take. Three of them have links to resources, what to look for in a church, where do I get a good Bible, and even a tool that we're going to send you, no charge, to help you take your first steps with Jesus. But count the cost, and if that's you, you've counted the cost, you're ready to go. Text the word new to this number, 312-274-9624. Text new to 312-274-9624. Listen, God had you here for a reason today, a good one. Just text the word new to 312-274-9624. They're coming in right now. You're coming in. This is great. New to 312-274-9624. We're here to help in any way we can.
Your spiritual pit stop to keep you going in the race. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
We got some folks that are surrendering to Jesus today and are brand new in Him, and we want to celebrate it. 7900-5290. 4825-5954. 6447-8021. Tremendous, man. Great to see so many people surrendering their lives to Jesus today. It's an awesome thing when you get just knocked over by the reality that the Spirit of God begins to convict your heart about things and you're starting to see life as it really is.
And so we want to welcome you to the family. And this revamped resource is super practical. So spend some time with it. Look at each of the links because they're all really important and are going to help you take those first steps.
You know what? I want to ask you a question. Let's talk about it from the power of the Holy Spirit. When you were born again, what was the first, capture what the Lord's saying in my heart here. What did the Spirit of God convict you of on that moment when you came to Jesus? What precipitated that move to Jesus? What kind of conviction were you feeling? I mean, Young Thunder, I'm just looking at you. You got yours. You know exactly what it was.
Yeah,
I mean,
do.
It was high definition conviction.
It was. It was high definition conviction. The Holy Spirit had been telling me for a couple of years that, hey, you don't actually know me. You believe that I exist, but you don't have a relationship with me. You're not following me. And that needed to happen. It was also get honest. In your life is full of you hiding and secrets and lies, and you need to be honest. So get honest. And those were the things that changed in me when I came to Christ, and the things that He was convicting me of just before I came to know Him.
It's a powerful thing. Conviction. Nobody likes it. Right?
Right.
It doesn't feel good.
But you can't live without it.
Exactly. I think it's one of those things in hindsight, you are grateful for it. In the midst of, you know it's not a pleasant feeling. And there's a reason it's conviction. There's a reason that it's a weight on you. Because God's telling you to do something or to change something that you either don't want to do or don't want to change.
Yeah, man, it's a powerful thing. What are you thinking, Allie?
You know, I'm thinking about this, you know, the difference between conviction and sort of guilty feelings. Have you ever kind of wrestled with that one?
Because totally.
A lot of people, you know, you'll even see like a puppy who does something that they know they're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
They kind of come over and they have like a sheepish little look on their face and you can read their mail going, okay, what did you do? Like, so there's a built-in sense for most people. As we're image bearers.
Yeah.
When we do something wrong, we don't feel great about it. What is the difference between feeling guilty and Holy Spirit conviction, or are they one and the same?
Yeah, that's a great question. My layman's term for this would simply be that conviction goes to a depth that guilty feelings can't touch, divides bone and marrow. There's a piercing of the heart that conviction does that a guilty feeling can't do. A guilty feeling seems to be about 1 inch away from real change. But that 1 inch is that knife that plummets a little bit deeper. It's a deep thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and the only thing I would add is that I think guilty feelings are a great start.
No, you're on the right path.
It's a great start. Is that feeling bad? Because many people work to suppress any sort of negative emotion like that. So the guilty feeling is sort of solved by doing something to dull or rationalization to get out of that. Like, well, I know I don't feel great about that business decision I just made. But, I mean, there's so many people doing way worse things.
Steaming right past it.
Right. And so if you have guilty feelings about things, I do think that that's a good entry point.
And don't skip past it.
Don't skip past it, because that awareness that something in my life is not right is actually the beginning of, can be the beginning of a path to surrender.
Yeah. What did the Holy Spirit convict you of that blew open the door to salvation for you? What did the Holy Spirit, put it in a word, Young Thunder, or a phrase, what did the Holy Spirit convict you of that led you to salvation?
I think that that's the right phrase is, what did the Holy Spirit tell you? Or, yeah, no, I think you've just got it right. I don't think that it's worth changing. What did the Holy Spirit convict you of that led you to salvation?
Start your day moving closer to Jesus. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Mike and Joliet, what do you say? What did the Holy Spirit convict you of that led to life abundant for you?
For me, it was like more being about the world. And I felt I had a lot of conviction with like dealing with like premarital sex and like smoking weed, or, you know, just like having a lot of selfish desires and just giving that stuff up completely and focusing on the Lord and basically replacing those selfish desires for like something that'll glorify God, whether it was reading scripture or, you know, getting with people and discipling, fellowshipping. And that's kind of what I felt like was very difficult when I felt the Holy Spirit calling me out of that situation, because I knew what I was doing was wrong. And I didn't really notice that until after I got baptized. So after getting baptized is more of like, I was still doing it, but I started to feel a certain type of way where I had to get on my knees and pray, because I knew that what I did was wrong, and I've cut back on a lot of those things, and I've That's been awesome. Doing a lot better. So,
Mike, I want to tell you something right now. I want to thank you for calling in, and I want to tell you that battle that you're facing, that the honesty that you have with it is tremendous, dude. That is awesome. The worst thing you can do is try to fake it till you make it, Mike. And I want to encourage you to do something right now. I just want you to listen close, Mike. I want you to go, and I want you to go call at least two brothers today that you can trust and tell them that the Spirit of God is still at work in me, and there's greater works that He has to do. Would you partner with me in prayer that I would be filled with the Spirit and live in a way that I'm not even today? Would you do that, Mike?
Of course.
Right on, man. You go for it, brother. Love you. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for calling
Thank
in.
You. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's Mike from Joliet. That's really cool. Let's get another one in here.
Let's go to Dawn, first-time caller from Mount Prospect. Dawn, what was it that the Holy Spirit was convicting you of that ultimately led you to surrender?
So the past 2 years, I would say I had 3 miscarriages.
Oh.
So I went through a lot of loss, went through a lot of anxiety, panic attacks. And one day I decided I'm going to start watching The Chosen. Turn on The Chosen. And I watched the episode of The Woman at the Well. And at that moment, I just started bawling. And I started praying that God and the Holy Spirit would save me.
Yeah.
And about 2 days later, I went to church. And we had a little ceremony for this husband and wife. They were moving to Florida. They went around the church and started praying for others. The husband came up to me, held my hand. I said that you're the woman at the well, and you've been saved, you've been cleaned.
Wow.
I am now with you, and from that moment, my life has changed. I've never been happier. My anxiety has gone away, and I finally found peace with the Lord.
Oh, praise God, sister. Oh, Dawn. It's indescribable, isn't it, Dawn? It's indescribable. Yeah. You can't put words to it, can you, sister?
No, not at all.
Yeah. I'm so proud of you, girl. Way to go. Look, Dawn, I don't know exactly what God has for you, but it's tremendous. And you just hang on, and it's just awesome. You know what? Yeah, I don't know why I feel prompted, Dawn, but let me tell you something. The woman at the well is one of my favorite stories in the scripture. So you're one of my favorite new sisters. So I'm going to give you a favorite new sister Carl and Crew prize pack that's got some resources in it for you. You stay on the horn, okay?
All right. Thank you.
We love you, girl. Boom.
Wow. Incredible story.
What an amazing thing, huh, guys? Yeah, I know. We got texts coming in here. Dawn's making me cry. You know, you can't hear stories like this on The Score or WBBM. What they're doing is great. But man, this is unusual.
This is Holy Spirit power.
Yeah, this is Spirit power. Just what God's doing in your life. It's just so cool, guys. Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listen to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.